The Jack Kirkwood Show.
Go to sleep while this show's on.
The following program is partially recorded and will be heard in Canada by shortwave in Alaska and Hawaiian Islands, by armed forces in all theaters of operation, and in the 11 western states of the USA. It's the Jack Kirkwood Show. Hey, you!
Are you listening?
Ladies and gentlemen, you've all heard of the man who said it takes two to make a bargain. Well, here is the man who gets more bargains than anyone because he's as big as two people. Jack, I knew I should have given up starches. Kirkwood!
Thank you, Larry Stevens, and how do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
Where's Betty?
And, Larry, thanks for that heavy introduction, but you're right about my weight, you know. Every morning when I get up, I put 20 pounds around my waist.
How?
I buckle on my money belt.
Is your money belt filled with money, Jack?
No, fat.
Actually, Jack, you ought to watch your weight.
Oh, I do watch my weight. Every morning, I stare at it for an hour, but it still won't go away. There it is, right there.
Maybe you ought to spend more time in the sun and perspire.
Oh, I do that, except that I perspire so much it's embarrassing. Just last summer, I perspired so much on the beach, one day people thought the tide was in.
Why don't you buy a steam cabinet?
Oh, I had a steam cabinet, but I sold it. It was too much trouble putting it on the stove to boil it every day.
Oh, you're silly.
No, I'm Kirkwood.
Well, how do you...
No, it can't be.
Well, I'll be.
Oh,
mustn't say that.
Well, we did that together. Like a band that I know. And, do you mind if I hang these shoestrings over the window that I've always wanted lace curtains?
Hey, what's going on here?
Nothing much, believe me. Well, Lily and Lee, come on in. Get your feet wet.
Are you perspiring again?
Oh, I didn't mean that. Say, you look very nice today, Lil. Are those spring flowers in your hair, or do you have technicolor dandruff?
You're insulting.
No, I'm perfect. Insulting takes scalp treatment.
Well, actually, Jack, these are spring flowers in my hair. Uh-huh. There's a poppy, an azalea, a gardenia, some sweet peas.
Who's your hairdresser, a Japanese gardener? I like that one. I'm glad I did. Nobody else did. Those flowers look lovely in your hair. That was a joke right there. Those flowers look lovely in your hair, Lil. I like the way you fix them so they border your bald spot.
Hello, Mr. K. I'm here.
Well, Lee Albert, as I live, and wish I hadn't come to work today.
Can I tell my riddle?
You think I'm kidding? Okay, but first, let me put a Band-Aid on my hearing aid just in case you say any cutting remarks.
Well, here's the riddle.
Oh, boy, put a Band-Aid over my hearing aid. I think I should have put a Band-Aid over the typewriter of the guy that wrote that joke. That was a joke.
Well, can I tell my riddle, please?
Do something, please.
All right, here it is.
Can you dance? You better get ready to go into that thing, you know, the whole time setting off the buffalo.
Why is the man with a crew haircut like a Scotchman?
Well, I don't know. Why is the man with a crew haircut like a Scotchman?
Because they both have a burr.
So. Well, I think Lee's brain is shaped like a salami.
That's ridiculous. How could a salami-shaped brain fit a square head?
Easy. One end sticks out through her face and becomes her nose.
Why do you always...
Sight jokes are always good.
Oh, I see.
You don't have to wait for them, though, Larry. Sometimes they don't come.
Why do you always insult Lee, Jack?
That's because she can't talk back.
Well, why doesn't she talk back?
Well, with me at the microphone, there isn't any room for her.
Did Lee send you an invitation to her party, Jack? She's having it next week, you know.
Oh, sure. I'll be there.
Which girl are you bringing, Mary or Joan?
I couldn't get a date with either one of them, so I'm bringing something else.
What?
Potato chips.
Well, with only potato chips, you'll be very lonely.
No, I won't. The noise from those potato chips sounds just like my girl grinding her teeth.
Well, why does your girl grind her teeth, Jack?
Well, she's too poor to take piano lessons. She likes music.
Oh! Is this that tall girlfriend of yours?
Yeah, that's the one. She's so tall that when we walk down the street, she keeps getting her knees caught in my vest pockets.
Are her legs long, Jack?
Her legs are so long that when her stockings hang on the line, looks like a windsock at the municipal airport.
Why do you go out?
That big pair of britches that they hang up on.
Why do you go out with her if she's so tall?
Well, a fellow gave me a pair of elevator shoes and I hated to waste them.
Just how tall is she?
7'9". Or was it 9'7"? I don't know.
Well, how'd you meet her?
Oh, I was walking down the street one day. I looked up and there she was. Yeah, at first I thought somebody had put ears on the Empire State Building. Then I realized that it was Cynthia. Cynthia. I'll never forget the day I kissed her in front of the Independence Hall in Philadelphia. Boy, did my ears ring.
From her kisses?
No, she got her head caught in the Liberty Bell. Thank you, George Wright. And now, George, if you'll just take your note out of the funny papers, you can lead the way over to the Madhouse Little Theater.
Today, the Madhouse comedy drama and What a Way to Make a Living players bring us another adventure of that great master of master detectives. Let us observe this genius of detection as he approaches his office. Look at that physique. He's 7 feet tall. 3 feet wide. He steps on the scales. His weight, 62 pounds. He is a flat man.
Yes, I am the flat man. Today's episode is entitled Today's Episode. Today's case is unusual in that the victim had a collection of 27 suits. Therefore, I should call it the suitcase. It was late one night when my assistant Stevens and I walked into Joe's Bar and Grill. Oh, and
this place is really crowded tonight, isn't it, Flatman? Flatman! Flatman! Where are you?
I'm down here. I slipped through the crack in the floor. Help me out.
Okay. Here. Ooh! Tia, that sure was a tough pull.
It should have been. You ripped up a piece of the flooring. I'm still down here.
Gee, I'm sorry, Flatman. Here, give me your hand.
Okay. Huh? No. There we are. Now, let's get a seat at the bar.
But, Flatman, the bar's full.
I see two empty places.
You do? Where?
Right there. Pass it out.
Okay. What'll it be today, Flatman?
Sound just like Stephen. How about one of your specials? This is Joe the bartender now. How about one of your specials, Joe?
Okay, here, try this mint julep.
Oh, thanks, Joe. I will, Joe. Say, this drink is kind of chewy, Joe.
Yeah, it's because it's made out of old money.
Old money, eh? I thought you said it was a mint julep.
Well, it is. It's julep that's made in the mint. Out of old money.
Never mind, I'll explain them. Joe, what kind of a shirt is that you have on?
Oh, this? It's made of taffeta.
Taffeta.
When I walk with it on, I rustle.
Oh, science preservers, Flatman, you shot me bartender again. Tell me now, why did you do it?
Well, he was wearing a I changed dialects awful quick in this show. Well, I shot him because he was wearing a taffeta shirt and rustling is against the law. Gotta get more accurate. I'll get it. It's probably for me anyway. Hello, this is the Flatman.
Flatman, this is Lee Albert.
Yes.
You must come out to my house at once. The flies and bugs and mosquitoes and termites are about to drive me crazy.
Oh, Miss Albert, why call me?
Well, aren't you the one who takes care of insects and things like that?
No, I'm the Flatman. You're thinking of my brother, the Flip Man. I knew that was no good,
hello.
So I had to get you in somewhere.
Hello there. Is there someone in here called the Flatman?
I am the Flatman.
You don't look it.
I'll have you know I just scraped all the wallpaper off the walls of my house.
So what? That's not hard to do.
It is when you're between the paper and the wall doing it.
Well, if you really are the flat man, you can solve my husband's murder.
Okay, when do I get paid?
As soon as I get home.
And you better tell me how it happened.
Oh, I will, as soon as I get home.
When was he murdered?
As soon as I get home.
Oh,
oh no, I mean, I'll tell you all about it when we reach my house.
Well, let's go. By the way, who are you?
What? Don't you recognize me?
Well, you do look familiar.
I am. I mean, I am Mrs. Jonathan Applejack.
Not the Mrs. Jonathan Applejack of the cider industry.
Yes. Now let's get to my house.
Okay. Come on. You drive, Stephen.
Okay.
A quick trip. Why didn't you tell us you lived across the street?
Because I like to ride.
Oh, I see.
The body is in the back of the house.
And when did you first find your husband murdered, Mrs. Applejack?
Oh, about a week ago.
A week ago? Now, what took you so long to report it?
Oh, I don't know. Just lazy, I guess. There's the body, Flatman.
Oh, yes. Been stabbed.
Well, gee, Flatman, how did you know that?
By the dilation of his eyes, by the peculiar color of the skin, also by the muscular contortion of his face. And by the fact that the knife is still sticking in his ribs.
That's my knife.
Who are you?
I'm Jonathan Applejack's cousin, Winesap.
Oh, well, look, cousin Winesap. What do you know? I know the sap part, though. What about this murder?
Well, about a week ago, I heard my Uncle Jonathan and Aunt Pippin quarreling about my uncle's diet.
Diet?
Yes, my fiancé, Dr. Stitchintime,
told
my uncle that he should eat some apples, you see, at least once a day. But uncle didn't like apples.
What? Your uncle, the owner of a big cider concern, and he didn't like apples?
He wouldn't touch them. Ever since he was buried under a carload of them, and he had to eat his way out.
Yeah. I know how he feels. I'm on a diet, too.
Why, he ate so many apples that for 6 months afterward, every time he'd cut himself shaving, he'd bleed cider.
Oh, I'm glad you had that old one. You say that the doctor who prescribed this is your fiancé, Cousin Winesap?
Oh, yes, the dear boy.
Then I arrest you for the murder of Jonathan Applejack.
Me? You must be joking, surely.
My name isn't Shirley, and I'm not joking. Not much, anyway. You killed Jonathan.
All right. I did it. I did it.
Okay.
I did
okay.
it. I did it.
I can't stand gabby women.
Man, how did you know it was Cousin Winesap that killed Jonathan?
Oh, elementary, my dear lady. Elementary. She knew. I don't know how she knew, but she knew that if her uncle went on that there diet, she would never get to see her fiancé.
Why not?
There's a nice line, isn't it? You've been waiting there for 3 hours. I knew. She knew she'd never get to see her fiancé because she knew that an apple a day would keep the doctor away.
And so we close the doors on the Madhouse Little Theater.
And here's George Wright to play a brand new number. Shades of Joe Spiegelberg. Jada. You're away again soon. The same old nest.
Partially recorded with the same gang. Lillian Lee, George Wright, Lee Albert, Sad Sam, the Sound Man, and our producer, J.C. Lewis. So be waiting, won't you?
Thanks for wandering into our hen house today, David. Thanks for those grand cars and letters, all that kind of stuff like that there. Sure enjoyed them. So let's hear from you nice folks in the meantime. Drive carefully and take mighty good care of yourselves now, you hear me?
Well, next time, this is Larry Stevens.
And Jack Kirkwood asked you to wait for that call.
Hey, you!
Are you listening?
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service,